Well, it's time for Garden Talk on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for joining us today. Melinda Myers is back to share some of her vast gardening knowledge today. She is a nationally known gardening expert, TV and radio host, author and columnist with over 30 years of horticulture experience, and she has written over 20 gardening books. What gardening questions are on your mind? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. But first, we're welcoming Noah Oshinsky, WPR's Chief Content Officer, to the show. Hey, Noah, it's Fall Member Drive.
It is, and it is good to be here, Jill.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. And we're here to remind you that listeners, and that means you, provide our largest source of funding here at WPR. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs that you enjoy, but especially ours. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Jill, we are looking for 35 people to join in with a donation this hour. And this goal is important. It's set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the funding needed to share the news and conversations that you and thousands of others count on every day. So please give now as generously as you can at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it is National Pepperoni Pizza Day, according to our technical director, Jeff Robbins. And I want you to picture that in your head. Picture a pizza cut into to slices. And the largest one of those slices, the biggest, is listener support for WPR. So while all of our funding sources, like the state and federal governments, and of course businesses, are important slices of that pizza, your contribution makes all the difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is, thanks to your support. So why don't you give to keep independent, high-quality programs on the air? And that just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All this talk of slices is making me hungry, Jill.
I know.
Gosh, what a mistake we're doing this at around the noon hour.
But anyway, today,
today is the $5 off Friday. Really exciting opportunity. You can ask for your Wisconsin State Park Pass when you give $20 a month. You'll support the WPR programs you value and get a year's worth of access to dozens of Wisconsin state parks. Really cool. This special offer is only available today, so give $20 a month and ask for your state park sticker now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it, sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art that was honestly a little creepy.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is the Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm here with Noah Oshinsky. And listener support, of course, is our biggest source of funding for WPR. And that's why your gift of $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount that you choose, has an important impact.
It really does. And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories, the programs, the gardening tips that keep you connected to the world. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today is $5 off Friday.
Woo-hoo.
Say that five times fast.
I know. Who wrote that? Because they didn't have to say it out loud.
That's a tough one. But that means you get a Wisconsin State Park sticker for the special donation amount of $20 a month. You can support the WPR programs you value and ask for the park sticker that will give you access to dozens of state parks and recreation areas for a whole year. So give right now, $20 a month, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget that now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations just come right out of your bank account or on your credit card. So get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Karen in Winnetka, Illinois says, I adore Garden Talk and Larry Miller. Karen, don't we all?
We do. And special treat, Karen, I hope you're listening because Larry's going to be coming to us from Scotland in the last half hour of the show. So listen there. And please give your gift now. It's powerful and really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. Melinda Myers, are you there?
I am.
Thank you so much for being with us today. We really do appreciate all your wisdom and all the information you share with us over the years. So thanks for being here.
Well, I enjoy chatting with you and all your listeners as well. And anytime we can talk gardening, right?
Makes oh, my gosh, yes, day. Yes. Have a garden talk every day.
That would be good.
Well, Noah's here, so we could talk to him, you know.
Okay. Hi, Noah.
Well, did you have something to say, Noah? Because you can't.
I just wanted to say hi.
Ah, okay. There we go. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, Melinda, but it's been pretty warm for the middle of September.
It has. You know, the joke used to be school would start, it would warm up, but it has been warm nonstop, except that one week where thought fall, right?
Yep,
thought fall had arrived.
Yeah.
And for some of us, it's been very dry. I don't know about you, but I watched the storms. We got a half an inch.
Yes.
Hooray.
Yeah.
I was so grateful.
Yeah, we did too. I was really happy about that. I didn't even know it was coming. I had left my windows open in my car, which is an unusual thing for me. It's very usual. But how is this going to affect our plants? Is this hot weather going to have any effect on them?
You know, when you look at it, depending on where you are, because I know parts of the state have received some decent rain throughout the summer. We had lots of it in the southern part, right? Twice the normal amount every month until August. And then we have not had rain in my neck of the woods, southeast Wisconsin. Most of us haven't seen rain for 6 weeks. And so all those plants pushed out all this growth early in the season. I have plants that are twice as tall as normal. And right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all these leaves to support all this lush, succulent growth. The roots, because they were getting watered every other day, you know, are near the surface. And I don't know about you, but I'm seeing a lot of scorch on my plants.
Yep.
Some browning and even watering, you know, just trying to keep things going has been very challenging. So I was watching the rain. I'm so pathetic, Jill. I was watching every couple hours. I'd wake up going, is the storm going to reach us? Is the storm going to reach us? So a couple things. One of the things is make sure plants are well watered throughout the fall. You know, if you're getting the rain, you know, we got this, depending on where you are, this half inch will buy us some time for those of us that have been dry. But thorough watering as needed. Check the soil moisture, you know, that top 4 to 6 inches. Thorough watering, because we want to send our plants off in good shape for winter. Mulch, if you haven't. Shredded bark, wood chips are great. Keep it away from the trunk of trees and the stems of shrubs and the crowns of perennials. As the leaves are dropping, I have my buckeye has dropped most of its leaves, I'm afraid to say.
Oh.
But those they make great mulch for the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them on the lawn, shred if they're small, it's a quarter or smaller. They'll add organic matter, though if your lawn's dormant, just try to stay off of it. But it makes great mulch around your perennials, your trees and shrubs, and homes for many beneficial insects. So you get multiple benefits. So don't rake those fall leaves to the curb. Use them in the landscape.
Yeah, I've been doing that for the last couple of years, and I, you know, don't have to bag them, and it's a great mulch, like you said. They're probably not as small as they should be, but they're still acting as mulch, right?
Right, and if you're mulching your plants, you can leave them intact or, you know, it's just on your lawn, they need to be small. So, you know, if you rake them back, I had years ago, because I've always used leaves, left them in the garden, used them as mulch, bagged them and saved them for composting. And I had a couple students who worked for a landscape company at the time, and I hired them to help me. And I went to the back of my yard and came out front, and they'd raked all the leaves out. I went,
no,
we're putting them back in. We're putting them back in. Because it's, you know, neat and tidy is something that a lot of people grew up and a lot of people ask their landscapers to do. But a little mess is good. You know, the queen bumblebees are looking for nice insulated places. Toads and frogs need that insulation. Lots of insects in those leaves. So, and they help us, like you said. They do such good things, suppressing weeds, conserving moisture. And when they break down, adding organic matter and nutrients to the soil. So you save, like you mentioned, you're not raking them. You're raking them maybe into the garden bed, or if you're mowing and bagging and then spreading them, you're not raking them to the curb and finding lots of good uses for them.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to go to my neighbors and start picking up their leaves, but I'm not sure how that will go over.
I have a friend, she's in her early 90s, and anytime I'm like, oh, I, you know, there's so much to do, I went, well, Dorothy, my friend Dorothy's still out there, and she does collect leaves from her neighbors.
Well, good for you, Dorothy. My mom actually does that, too, and she's in her early 90s also. So must be a mindset, right?
I think so. Keeps them young.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we had someone call in, but I don't know if she couldn't hold on or what happened. But anyway, her question was about peony seedlings. She says that she has some that are 2 years old, and she was wondering if she can move those. Is it okay to do them now, or should she wait?
Yeah, good question. So peonies, many of our peonies really hit hard with the heat and powdery mildew. So, you know, they may be dormant already. And so fall is a great time to move peonies. You want to take as much of the root system. They have rhizomes. When you replant them, the point of growth at the rhizome should be about 2 inches, no more than 2 inches below the soil surface. Full sun, moist, well-drained soils are the places they prefer. And then they may or may not bloom next spring, but that's okay. That's normal. And then just wait in the following spring once they're established. They're probably putting down a lot of root growth. They may bloom for you, but if they don't worry. They're putting their energy into roots, so they'll be long-lived. So if you do need peonies, can stay in the same spot for decades. But we often put them where we don't need them or the nearby plants outgrow. That's what's happened to mine. I'm moving mine this fall.
Oh,
too.
Are you? Well, I've been thinking about moving mine for maybe 3 or 4 years now.
Well, you have to think about it for a while.
Right. Got to plan these things.
That's right.
Well, they are starting to circle out a little bit. So there's a few that are kind of empty in the middle, you know, and I think it's probably time.
This might be a good clue to move them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. So what about the established ones, though, now? Is it okay for fall, or should we wait till spring to move those?
No, fall is actually, believe it or not, a great time to do it.
Okay.
So, you know, they're starting to go dormant. You can wait till the leaves yellow. We usually say October, but I'm seeing some plants go dormant a little early because of the heat, right?
Yeah.
In the dry weather. And then once you move them, you do want to make sure they receive sufficient water because they're still growing, but it's all underground.
Right, right. Water is very key right now, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Melinda Myers is our guest today. What questions do you have for her? Lines are wide open, so give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is a Larry Mueller Show, and it's also the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau and Noah Osinczynski. Darn it, I thought I was going to get it, Noah.
It's a mouthful. It's okay.
It is, and you don't have to say my last name, so you totally lucked out this time. So just remember that as a WPR listener, you know you'll always hear something interesting when you tune in, like me mispronouncing names. And that's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. So when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And Jill, this hour, when 35 people join in with a gift, funding for WPR News stays on track. You can make your contribution right now, any amount that works for you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Now, we're talking to Melinda Myers today, who is an amazing garden expert, and we are able to bring her to you to answer your gardening questions right here, and that is only possible because WPR is listener-supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible, so choose an amount that works for you. Just take a few minutes and make your gift.
And if you're looking for an easy way to make a gift to WPR, you can become a sustaining member. You can make automatic monthly contributions from your bank account or credit card.
And a lot of people give $15 a month on this plan, or some give $100. You know, the amount is completely up to you. And as a sustainer, you're an ongoing member of WPR. You provide reliable funding for your favorite radio station, and you don't have to remember to send that money in, which I'm so glad I do that. Start today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
All you have to do is go to WPR.org, and that number is 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm here with Noah Oshinsky. Your support during this fall member drive makes the conversations, the gardening tips that you enjoy on WPR possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, or whatever amount that you choose, is the right amount.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling your friends and family.
That's right. Brag about it. Whether you use social media or maybe you just call them up, send them a text. I think nobody calls anymore. Or you can mention it when you see them. Just let them know that you support the high quality, independent programming on WPR. Make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then inspire other WPR fans in your life to do the same thing.
And a $10 a month contribution works out to just 33 cents a day, if my math is right. And when you think about the daily information and inspiration you get from WPR programs like this one, that is a great value.
What in the world can you get for 33 cents a day? I don't think you can even get gum out of a gumball machine anymore, can you?
Inflation.
Inflation, yep. So make your gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your 33 cent a day investment will yield programs that keep you engaged and up to date, like Garden Talk.
And you can support one of treasured Wisconsin resource, WPR, and get access to a year's worth of another resource, the State Park System.
For sure.
And today only, this deal is available for the special donation amount of $20 a month. Give now and ask for your park sticker at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you, thank you, thank you. Why don't you make to the day that you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. And that's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Bethan Fitchburg says, I listen to WPR every day and gain a lot of insight. Well, thank you, Beth from Fitchburg, for your kind words and your generous support. You can join Beth right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much. And let's go right to the phones, Melinda. We've got a lot of people calling with questions. So, Susan in De Pere, you go right ahead with yours.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have been trying to grow autumn joy sedum for many, many years, and I see everybody else's look gorgeous, and mine always flop over. They're grown in clay. I have tried to cut them down in July, hoping that they don't get too tall. Plus, all my leaves are eaten by this time of year, and they look horrible. And I don't know if slugs are getting them or what, so I could use some help on this.
You know, you're not alone. I know that doesn't solve your problem, but sometimes it's nice to know you're not the only one struggling. And so a couple things, Susan. You identified one of the problems, clay soil, sedum-like, well-drained soil. So anytime you can improve drainage, adding compost, working in, you know, just kind of improving that drainage, full sun, they will thrive in full sun. And when you're cutting them back, try to do that when they're about 8 inches tall, cutting them back halfway. That gives them a chance to get ready to bloom a little earlier in the season. This year we saw a lot of problems, not only with slugs, but also earwigs because of all of the rain. And a lot of our insects feed in the evening or at night, so going out with a flashlight, sometimes you can pick them off and take care of them. I had a woman, I was giving a talk the other day, and she saw this post on social media where this person took a burlap ribbon and tied it around her flopping sedums, put a big bow on it, and it looked like a bouquet in the garden. So not necessarily what you wanted to do, but, you know, I have sandy soil, so I'm very lucky. But this year with all the rain, my sedums are very floppy. And so, you know, it's because of the weather for me. But so many people with heavy clay soil struggle with exactly what you have. So pruning, when the plants are 8 inches tall, cutting them back, providing support. Maybe they need a little bit sunnier area, or maybe you've got some areas with a little better drainage and moving them to that location. The other option is maybe if you're really discouraged is looking for maybe some shorter sedum or some other type of plant that will provide some late season bloom but will tolerate those growing conditions a little better. Something like turtle head, you can get cultivars that are shorter. Even the coneflower, some of the new cultivars are a little more tolerant of clay soil. So you may want to look for some of those things if you really can't get it to work. Sometimes, you know, we're better off just trying something better suited for those conditions.
Very, very true. Great advice, Melinda. I know my sedums are floppy, too. But I really like the whole bouquet thing. I think I might have to try that because that looked great for fall.
It was. And this woman sent me a picture from the social media post. I'm like, oh, that looks really good. So people will think you're really creative,
that's
too,
right,
Susan.
That's right. Well, good luck, Susan. Appreciate the call. Linda in Wausau, you're next. Go right ahead.
Hi, Linda. I have a variety of flowers around my yard, and every year I get a few volunteers that come up, and I have a friend who wants some of the seeds to put in her garden, and I don't know how to do that. Can you just plant the whole coneflower head, or do you have to dry them and put them in the spring? What's the best way to do that?
Great question. And so there's lots of good Seed Saver Exchange has some good information on, you know, harvesting and preserving seeds. And one of the things I always do is I look to nature. So what happens in nature? So plants that drop their seeds toward the end of the season, like your coneflower, this is a good time when the cones are, when the seed heads are dry, breaking them apart. And if she wants to, she could plant them right away, just like that nature does, right? If she wants to store them, some seeds have a moist cold storage requirement. And Prairie Nursery, Wisconsin's Prairie Nursery, and a lot of you have probably heard Neil DeBull on Garden Talk, he's got great information on treating native seeds through, you know, went from harvest to do they need a dry cold, you know, put them in an envelope, stick them in the fridge, not the freezer, and then plant them in the spring, or do they need a damp like sand with to mix with the seed, storm cold. So the coneflowers, I've had great success just harvesting and storing. They're so prolific. But if you harvest them, you could give her the whole seed head and let her break them apart, spread them, get rid of any of the debris, and then she could plant them right in the garden right away. That's probably the easiest other way to store them. In the refrigerator. They don't need to be in the freezer. They just need a cold treatment.
Okay, great. Thanks for that question, Linda. If you've got one, give us a call, 800-642-1234. And you can send us an email, too. It's talk@WPR.org. And, you know, you're right. Neil has a wonderful website, as do you. So much information. So you can't have the real person. You can always go to the website, right?
Exactly. And there's so many nuances about different seeds. And, you know, we're gardeners. We experiment. If it doesn't work, figure out
there's
why.
Always next year, right?
Right, exactly. But if you can save some time, why not?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said to scatter them and plant them in the yard or the garden, how deep do you put those little seeds? Because nature's not going to put them very deep.
Right, exactly. So what I would do, if the site is prepared, so mm-hmm. she can prepare it, sprinkle it and lightly raking, and that, you know, like the finer your seeds, the closer to the soil surface. So you're absolutely right. So you might just want to rake them or just lightly cover them with, you know, a quarter to it, no more than half an inch of soil. And that way they're right there at the surface. Some people will even mix them in with like a potting mix and then sprinkle them as well.
Oh, I like that idea because they are tiny, tiny. So
exactly. Yeah. Or a little bit of your garden soil and then come
sure.
over and spread it.
All right. Let's go to Jim in Stevens Point. Go ahead, Jim.
Good morning. I was just wondering how late into the fall can you transplant most perennials?
You know, we always like to give them a chance, like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks before the first hard frost, whenever that's going to be this year, right?
Who knows?
You know, and the tougher the plant, the later you do it, the more you're taking a chance. But I have a friend who does a lot of garden design and maintenance, and he's actually had to use a pickaxe to break through the soil and move plants. Now, that's pushing your luck, right?
Yes.
So the more, you know, some plants I'm like, oh, I just got to move them. I'll take a chance. So if you can start moving them now, you know, now through September, if you can get them in the ground in October, that's going to give them some time, because even after the ground lightly freezes, they're going to still have some root growth happening below that. So if you can get them in the ground in early October, you'd be fine. With this heat, as we were discussing, it's going to be a little more challenging. You know, I usually say the soil's warm, the air's cool, it's a great time to move those plants. Well, the soil's definitely warm. The air's not so cool. And you just want to make sure they're getting sufficient but not too much moisture. If you move them late, you know, we always get to those, we're busy, whatever, and if it's getting later in the season, mulch the soil at planting. Use some of those fall leaves or twice shredded bark and mulch the soil. That will keep it from freezing a little longer, so that gives the plant more time to adjust. So that's kind of a nice way. If it's borderline hardy or you're concerned it didn't get adapted well enough, after the ground freezes, throw some evergreen boughs or straw or marsh hay over top, and that adds some extra insulation. Or if it snows, that's the best mulch possible.
Yes, and hopefully it'll stay and not...
Right,
yeah,
you know, like it did last year.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Oh, that's so hard on the plants, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. And I want to just mention while we have a moment, and thanks, Jim, for asking that question. Winter mulch, the goal is to keep the soil frozen. So when we have those thaws in winter, the soil slowly warms up and hopefully doesn't thaw out. So we don't have the frost heaving. We don't have early sprouting. Like you were saying, Jill, it's mm-hmm. so hard on our plants. And so that's where winter mulch comes in, to help not only borderline or late plantings, but really anything subject to early sprouting.
So wait to put it on until the ground is frozen.
Correct.
Okay.
When it's nice and crunchy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really cold out there when you do it and your hands really get cold.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It is. Renee and Viroqua, go ahead.
Hi. Yes. I have two questions. One is I have an elephant plant that is growing and looks lovely. Can I bring that in for the winter and keep it? And the other one is, how do I divide and when can I move my bleeding heart? I have one that's getting super large.
Okay, what was the, I didn't quite catch the first plant that you wanted to bring in.
Elephant ear.
Oh, an elephant ear. Okay. Yes, so a couple things with elephant ears. You can bring them in and grow. I have some that I bring in, and I have an area where I store things with a big window, and I just keep mine as houseplants growing over winter. But as they're getting bigger, it's getting harder. So either after a light frost, because they'll die back pretty quickly, you could dig the bulb. you know, let it kind of, what's what we call cure in a warm, dry place. So it kind of seals up, holds the moisture in, and then you can store it in a cool, dark place, you know, 45, 55 degrees where you'd store your cannas and things like that. I've also stored some of my elephant ears in the pot in a cool, dark place. I have an area in my, I'm very lucky, in my basement where three of the walls are right against the soil outside, so it stays really cool. And so that's where I move a lot of my non-hardy plants that I keep in the pots for winter. So either grow them like a houseplant, you can enjoy that tropical feel indoors, or after a light frost when the tops, you know, turn yellow from just a light frost, you don't want a hard frost on them, then you can move them inside, let the bulb dry. You can store it either in the existing soil, or you can move it in to pack it in some peat moss and in a cool, dark place for winter. For bleeding heart, you know, we can move them a couple times. In spring, as they're starting to emerge, I've had success doing that. You may interfere with bloom. Or the other time is as they're starting after they're done flowering. For the common bleeding heart that tends to go dormant in the summer, as they're done flowering and as they're starting to go dormant, that's another time that you can divide them. For the fringe bleeding hearts, those you can divide early in the season, or you could even divide them this time of year. Since they bloom heavy early in the season, they still have lots of leaves, hopefully, depending on how much the heat took them out this summer. But if it's the fringe, the shorter bleeding heart, you could do that this time of year.
Okay. Fringe are pretty, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And there's a new one out, Jill, called Pink Diamonds that thrives in full sun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I know, I'm so excited. I saw it at a conference this summer, and it's got blue-green leaves, kind of similar to Luxuriant or King of Hearts fringe bleeding heart, but they said it has to have full sun. And so, and I have lots of sun, so I was very excited to see that. So those of you that have like, oh, I don't have an afternoon shade to grow fringe bleeding heart, check out Pink Diamonds.
Pink
it's
diamonds.
New, so ask your favorite local garden center to carry it for you.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to finding that one. Cindy in Oshkosh, you're up next. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Melinda. Thank you for talking with me today. I have a problem with lady beetles, and I have quite a few lilies, and I have quite a few martagons, and I was attacked this summer, and I did treat it with 7. I started out with insecticidal soap, which did nothing, so I went to the 7, and what I did is I treated the base of the lilies and the martagons, and I treated the ground, and I was able to have them bloom. The bottoms of the lilies looked pretty sad, but they did come through the season. They did bloom. Now, my question is, how can I be proactive coming in the spring? Can I spray the ground now, or the eggs? Is there something that I can do to be proactive?
You know, you bring up, and it's the lily leaf beetle, or the red lily leaf beetle, and it really got it, first came to Wisconsin and Wausau. It's a very big problem on the East Coast. It's spread throughout different parts of the state. And, you know, there's not really a good preventative option. And you want to be careful, because I'm sure you are, when we're treating for those, that you're not harming the good guys. And so I appreciate that you tried to use the insecticidal soap. Horticulture oils and insecticidal soap have to cover the insect to prevent them from being able to exchange oxygen through the holes in their exoskeleton. So they basically suffocate. So it's a little harder, and you have to do it repeatedly. Some people have opted not to grow lilies, which is, I know, very sad. And fritillaries, especially once you get them growing and they look good. So the things you're doing, start checking early, hand picking and crushing the adults and larvae as soon as you find them, or knocking them into soapy water. The more you do to control the population, the better. And then just keep an eye on them and do what you did last year using I'm a little bit more of a fan of permethrin than 7, just because it seems to be a little gentler and you have smaller active ingredients. UW Horticulture has a great flyer on the lily leaf beetle. So for those of you, PJ Leash, our UW-Madison entomologist who runs the insect diagnostic lab, has a great publication. So if you just do an internet search, UW Hort, lily leaf beetle. So if you hang up, anybody else that's going, what did she say? Or next spring comes, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, good cleanup this fall. And then just what you were doing before, it's getting after them early to minimize the damage. And, yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. A lot of people just quit growing lilies because of the intensity. So unfortunately, not anything you can really do in advance.
Well, thank you for the question, Cindy. We appreciate that.
Yes.
Nationally known gardening expert Melinda Myers is back with us. We have full lines. We have an open one. So call right now, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and it's also Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Noah Ovshinsky. We're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your WPR listening.
And listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
It is. And right now we're looking for 35 people to join in this hour. And if we do that, we'll be on track to support the quality and variety of programs that you enjoy every day right here. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener powered. And that means your donation right now makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You've probably found yourself hovering near the radio or your phone app, drawn into a great discussion. I know I've been there a lot, and you need to get somewhere, but that discussion is just too interesting to ignore. You appreciate the host's questions and the guest's knowledge, and I can't think of a better example than Garden Talk on Fridays here on WPR. WPR is your source for compelling conversations, and support it now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sometimes you do actually get more than what you pay for, and WPR is one place where that's true every single day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
You can't buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day actually makes a lot of news and information and a lot of garden talk. That works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Ooh, I love Bruce's voice. You too can give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm here with Noah Ovshinsky, and we're asking you to support the quality program that you value on WPR with your gift right now during our fall member drive. Your contribution of $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever you choose, that's the beauty of it. It makes a difference to our entire community.
Karen in Juneau says, I listen to WPR most days, always entertaining. Karen from Juneau, thank you so much for your kind words and your generous support of WPR. You can join Karen at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much. And we're going to join Melinda Myers because we've got a bunch of people on the phones that have questions for you, Melinda. So let's go to Margo in La Crosse first. Go ahead, Margo.
Hi. I have a quick question about little maple trees. I dug two up from the yard and repotted them, and I started one from seed this summer. So they range in size from about 8 inches to about a foot and a half. How do I winter them over outside so that they survive? Then I can plant them in the spring. And how do I protect them from all the things out there that want to eat them?
So have they been growing in pots outside this summer?
Yes.
Okay, great. So they're already used to the climate. So what I would do is leave them in the containers and find a sheltered location, a vacant part in a garden, and sink the pots in the ground so that they're insulated. And then I would cover those, either create a fence of hardware cloth around and maybe even on top so the deer can't reach in and chew on them, or the rabbits even, so that you've kept the animals out. If you do this now, so sinking the pots, if you've got a spot, sinking the pots in now or soon before the ground freezes, obviously, then take that hardware cloth and sink it in the ground 4 to 6 inches when you're making your little mini fence, and that'll help keep the voles from coming out and chewing on, you know, keep them from chewing on the bark. And then the only reason I mention a top is sometimes, you know, you can see them for, say, a little chicken wire cloches to protect plants, and that's basically what you're doing, and just having a cover so animals can't reach in and nibble on those plants. Then in spring, you know, when the ground is workable and you find a location, and since they're in pots, you can plant them anytime during the growing season next year. And I would still continue to give them some winter care in terms of fencing from the animals the first few years, because when they're young plants, they're more likely to be nibbled on. And so give them that little protection too, you know, a cylinder of hardware cloth sunk in the ground at least 4 feet high to keep rabbits out and even prevent some deer damage. So once they're in their permanent location.
Okay, way to go, Margo, on getting those babies going.
That's right.
I always get volunteers in the middle of my flower bed, and I really don't want them there.
Well, and I was going to thank you for bringing that up, Jill. So one of the things is a lot of our Norway maples and Amur maples we found are invasive species now, and those are the ones you find hundreds of them in your garden beds, in your lawn. And those are the ones I'm assuming, Margo, I'm hoping, you know, you're in La Crosse, so you might even be getting red maples, which would be great additions. If it's one of those that you find growing all over your landscape, that's probably one you want to do exactly what Jill is doing, is weed them out and compost them instead of plant them.
Yeah, right with the black walnuts.
Oh, yes. Those, if you're composting them, compost them and make sure they're totally decomposed before adding them to a garden bed. But yes, the squirrels have been busy, I think, in your yard and mine.
Yeah, for sure. Jenny and Madison, go right ahead.
Hi. Early this summer, or maybe spring, someone gave me some canna bulbs that they had set out. And good intentions, I took them home, and they've been sitting in a grocery bag in my garage ever since. So they've never made it into the ground this summer. And I'm wondering, are they still good if I put them in my basement for next year?
So you did get them planted, or you did not get them planted this summer?
Did not. They've been living in a grocery bag in my detached garage. Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the problems is you can check it. It's, they may have, and don't feel bad, I have a few in my basement that didn't get planted, and I even paid for them, so shame on me. Mine are kind of shriveled, so I'm just going to compost them and bring them into the garden in a new form. I'm guessing that, especially with the heat we had this summer, they're probably dried up. You know, you can always hang on to them, and next spring see if they're nice and plump and firm. But if they're all shriveled up, you might as well compost them now, and your friend will probably have more to share with you next spring.
So should she, if she couldn't get to them, should she have maybe put them in the basement or someplace that wasn't a hot, dry area?
You bet. So, okay. And then just even in the basement, that's where mine are. It's kind of even that long, mm-hmm. They tend to dry out. So with our canna, so people that, and maybe your friend will give you more now, but after the frost kills the top, you're going to lift them, let them cure overnight. Though I've also kept some, well, I'll talk about when I grew them as a houseplant, but I also have left them in their pots and then moved them to my basement in that cool spot. But if you're going to dig them out of the garden, let them cure overnight, just loosely brush off the soil. Store them in peat moss. Some people do it in a brown paper bag like your friend, and you did, but in a cool, dark place, you know, as close to 45, 50 degrees as you can get it. One year I had some growing with some other plants in a pot, and I had them under artificial lights in my basement, and my canna even bloomed in the winter.
Oh, nice.
It was. It was a sad-looking, a very spindly plant, and I ended up putting it back outside that next summer, and it recovered. Probably not the smartest way to overwinter, but it was a great experiment, and I lucked out. So, yeah. You know, you might even try that if you have space and some lights in the basement or something. But otherwise, if they're dried up and shriveled, you might as well compost them. And if your friend gives you more, you're right, Jill. Put them in a cool place, a cooler place. They're not going to dry out as quickly.
All right. Well, Jenny, good luck with that. This is Wisconsin Public Radio and Garden Talk, and Melinda Myers will be back with us after the news. But right now, Noah Ovshinsky is back here because it's our fall member drive.
It is. It's good to be here. Good to be here, Jill. And I've been enjoying all of this good advice. And I got to be honest with you, I can't believe we're already talking about fall.
I know. Yes. It's, you know, you're not prepared, but I looked at the weather last week and it's fall.
I know. I've been in denial, but I'm slowly accepting it. Anyway, very good to be here, Jill. Denial aside.
That's right. Denial aside. Just call me Cleopatra. So we're here to remind you that the largest source of funding for WPR and programs like you're listening to is you. So we would like to ask you to take an important step, and that would be to donate to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour, Jill, we have a goal of 35 gifts. And these hourly goals are important because they help us stay on track financially so we can keep the news coverage and conversations and Garden Talk going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're talking to Melinda Meyer. She's on here for an hour and a half. How unique is that to get this much information from this expert? Of course, it's not unique on WPR, is it? Because we do that a lot. And WPR is listener supported, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Just take a few minutes and make your gift.
And today, Jill, is $5 off Friday. Today only, you can ask for your Wisconsin State Park Pass when you give $20 a month for the programs you value on WPR. You'll enjoy WPR programs all the more knowing you make them possible. And you'll enjoy a year's worth of access to our beautiful state park system. You can ask for your park sticker on this special day at this special donation amount when you give $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What I like about Wisconsin Public Radio is that it can brighten my day and help me laugh.
It helps me get outside of my own head.
I love the idea that it's a different perspective. It's a fresh outlook on listening.
Listening to public radio has opened up my mind to all that can be and all that is.
And if you want to give, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation for this fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Noah Ovshinsky. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
And you first join the WPR community as a listener, tuning in every day. And after a while, it's time to join the community as a donor. Funding the great programs on WPR is a group effort.
What I love it is that we do this all together, just one gift at a time, $1 at a time. And if you've never given before, let's say you start with a donation of maybe $100 or $10 a month, whatever is right for you. And it's super simple. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And if you've already made an annual contribution or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you, thank you. Thank you. You are the backbone of WPR.
That's a really good analogy because we need those sustainers so we know we can count on that income. And if you haven't given yet, join tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can support one treasured Wisconsin resource, WPR, and get access to a year's worth of another, the state park system. And gosh, what a treasured resource it is. And today only, this deal is available for the special donation amount of $20 a month. Give now and ask for your park sticker at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose, just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Jay in West Bend says Larry is a national treasure. Jay, Jill and I could not agree more. Hearie, we agree. Larry is a national treasure. Thank you for your kind words and your generous support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join Jay right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, Larry is in Scotland right now, so maybe he's an international treasure. I won't tell him that, though, because that'll be too big for his head. Anyway, your support is so important. We appreciate it. Please go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. Well, this is the day that you're all been waiting for. It's Friday and it's Garden Talk. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for joining us on WPR. We've been talking about transitioning from fall to winter on the show with Melinda Myers. And of course, she is a nationally known gardening expert, TV and radio host, author and columnist, and over 30 years of horticulture experience. Our lines are full right now, but if you want to jot down 800-642-1234, we can try to get to you. Or if you want to send an email, talk@WPR.org. But right now, we are going to be talking to you about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And I've got Noah Oshinsky here with me. We're going to talk about raising the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, programs like Garden Talk. So support from people like you is the largest piece of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And right now, Jill, we have a dollar for dollar match in effect. That's great. That's up to $2,500. And this generous match is from Terry and Mary in Madison. And it means that they will match every dollar you give.
That's such a musical name, Terry and Mary in Madison. I like it. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It's a wonderful opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality, and that is why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR, that quality is possible thanks to you.
And when you give, you're part of an outstanding service that you tune into for on every day, probably on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today is $5 off Friday. You can ask for, it just rolls off the tongue.
It does.
Ask for your Wisconsin State Park Pass when you give $20 a month. You will support the WPR programs you value and get a year's worth of access to dozens of Wisconsin state parks. This special offer is only available today, so give $20 a month and ask for your state park sticker now. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. WPR basically accounts for so much of what I know about Wisconsin. Politics, geography, people, interesting places to go. Subscribing to the daily email is a routine part of my life. I know before I go to bed at night, I'm going to look at that email and see things I really need to try and focus on. And then I've recently gotten to the podcast world, and it is wonderful to be able to, I missed that, and now I can find it out here, and it's great.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
And we would love to have you join us on this fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau with Noah Oshinsky, because listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR. That's why your gift of $10 a month, or make it $100 a month if you can, whatever you choose, has an important impact.
And giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
The donation will come back to you every single day in the form of engaging programs like Garden Talk. So show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you can.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match. It is still in effect. There is still room for your gift to be matched. What an exciting opportunity. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Plus, today is $5 off Friday, and that means that you can get a Wisconsin State Park sticker for the special donation amount of $20 a month. So support the WPR programs that you value and ask for your park sticker, and that'll give you access to dozens of state parks and recreation area for a whole year. So give now, $20 a month, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It is easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can get started today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jennifer in Madison says, I've started listening to WPR during the pandemic and became hooked on the content. I've laughed, I've cried, and most of all, I am grateful for the work that you all do. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much. Can you join Jennifer with your gift now? It's powerful and really makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. And we're going to go right over to Melinda right now. We've got a number of people on the line, so let's go right to Jeannie in Door County. Thanks for your patience, Jeannie. Go right ahead.
Hi, I have two questions. One is, I use deer repellent because I have a terrible deer problem. Is that a problem for the pollinators? And the other question is, I have a huge spikenard plant. It's just taking over. Can I cut it back?
So a couple things. So the deer repellent, most of them, depending on the product, just like to disclose, I work with PlantSkid. It's organic odor-based, and there's no issue with pollinators. There has been, I did a little research, and there are things like they're doing research on how do those monarchs find the plants they want, but they really haven't found a problem with, they don't usually, if it's a odor-based, the smell. So you can always check the label to see if there's any precautions on the plants you use, what it should repel, and then also there's usually an 800 number. But from what I've been able to find is usually, especially with the odor-based, it's not an issue. And I, you know, check the label just in case there's any carriers or anything that might be harmful to insects. But most of them that I've found have not been a problem. For your spikenard, they die back in the winter. They do get, this year with all the rain, they are twice the size I normally see them. You know, so they will die back this winter. So depending on how much moisture we'll have next year, they, you know, they typically are more like three and a half feet tall, but I've seen them up to 5 feet this year because of all the rain. So you should be fine after it dies back and comes back for you in the spring.
Okay, thanks for those questions, Jeannie. We appreciate it. Marilyn in Southridge, go right ahead.
Hi. I have a problem that might be related to the lack of snow that we had last year. I have a 45-year-old crabapple tree, and my lilac bushes, which are about 40 years old, that have lost their leaves already, and they've been dealing with that all summer. Am I going to lose those plants, or is there anything that I can still do?
Yeah, so the crabapple was a big problem we saw. Brian Huddleston, who runs the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic for UW-Madison, said it was the worst year he's ever seen for apple scab. And apple scab is a fungal disease, more of a problem when we had the wet weather we had this year. And so it causes a fungus. The good news is that typically the leaves can drop off. I have a crab apple that came with my house. And let me tell you, it every year drops the leaves except the two hot, dry summers. So here's the deal. Rake, get rid of the fall leaves. It'll probably come back. Resistant crab apples aren't immune, but they showed less of a problem. So if you haven't had the problem in the past, I just rake, get rid of the leaves, and it'll probably be fine next year. Just make sure, depending on how much water you have, they get sufficient water going into winter. In terms of the lilacs, one of the things that I kind of looked at, we've seen a lot of the lilacs, common lilacs, having issues. And so I emailed Brian Huddleston myself to say, what's going on? I can't find this. He just said it's been a big problem with Septoria leaf spot this year. He just answered my question. Thank you, Brian. I pulled it up off my email. Thank you, Brian. And he said it's a big problem with Septoria leaf spot. He said it's been really bad this year, again, like apple scab. And he said good fall cleanup of the leaves. If you need to do any thinning to help improve air circulation and light penetration, you can also use fungicides to help prevent the leaves being infected. That's kind of a choice that, you know, look at, you know, the label, make sure it's labeled for Septoria leaf spot on shrubs like lilacs. I have seen, mine are fine, but my neighbor, boy, I was watching, and if I had people come and ask me, so thank you, Brian. So Septoria leaf spot on your lilac, it will come back, I'm sure, being that old. Your crabapple should be fine. Just good fall cleanup, because the disease overwinters on the dead leaves below the plant. And with the crabapple, if you've not had it in the past, I wouldn't worry. It's more weather-related. The same with the lilacs, too. And if you are concerned, you could start applying fungicides in the spring as a preventative.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. It's funny, Melinda, I emailed Brian with my question about my lilacs, too. I think he told me the exact same thing. But this has been 3 years in a row for me, so I'm getting a little concerned. So I like your tip about cleaning up the leaves afterwards. So those leaves I'll try to get rid of.
You can bury them someplace, find out what your municipality lets you do mm-hmm. with disease material, and get them out. And I just wanted to mention, Jill, I did a webinar on fall landscape planting and care. So if people can't get their answers, it's recorded. It's free. Just go to my website to register. And then there's a great handout that goes with it. And I only say great because it's unlimited pages. Anyway, digital handout with lots of links. And then the other thing is, if you're in the area of Exonia, Wisconsin, west of Oconomowoc, I'm speaking tomorrow from 11 to 1 on preparing your landscape for winter. So just other resources if we don't get to your call today,
If
we do.
Even if we do, you can come. And just as an FYI, we're recording this on Friday, but we will rerun it on tomorrow on Saturday, and Melinda's going to be there on Saturday, the 21st. So
thank you.
Yeah, just it gets a little tricky sometimes. So, and let's go to Bill in Whitewater. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I have just installed some trellises, and I want to put hydrangea vines on them. Two of them will be in plenty of sun, but three of them will be in the shade most of the time. Is that okay for them?
Yeah, hydrangea vines do pretty well in the shade. They're very slow to get established. So anybody listening is probably going to tell him it takes years sometimes for them to start flowering. The ones that they'll take full sun, they need something rough to attach to. They use root-like roots that stick to the surface.
Tendrils, right?
Thank you. Or root-like hold fast. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Jill. Takes two of us to get this out. So they need a rough surface. Wood can deteriorate over time, masonry, or you may just have to help the plant stick if it's not a trellis that has a rough surface. And the ones in sun will be fine. The ones in shade, I had it growing on my north side of my brick home in Milwaukee, and I had trees that were in the park easement. I've seen them in fairly heavy shade, still blooming. You know, half a day of sun boosts that flowering, but just be patient. The stems are exfoliating in orange. They're beautiful in the winter. The flowers are usually the middle to the third week in June, yellow fall color and a good fall color year. So wonderful choice. Just kind of have give them the right, and they do get big.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. We have a couple of emails. We'll try to get in here in the last 2 minutes. Susan LaCrosse emailed that they have a mature Techne arborvitae in a line of about 25, and she's noticed that two of them have branches that are going brown. The two browning trees are not right next to each other. Of course not. She's wondering what's going on. Are they dying, and could it be some sort of pest or sickness?
You know, there is mites can sometimes attack arborvitae. And what amazed me is with all the rain we've had this year, boy, that hot weather, and when it got a little dry, the aphids and mites came out in full force, and they caused kind of a silvering. And so if they're totally dead, you can prune those out. They may push out new growth if they're just dead, the needle portion is dead. There's a leaf miner that will attack. And then check the soil moisture, and because sometimes we have areas, pockets that could get drier or wetter than others, and see where they're struggling. Is the soil moisture different from areas where they're doing well? And then the last is, did they get damaged in the heavy snow? Maybe some mechanical injury, and it took a while for that to show up. Maybe there's a break in those branches.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you, Susan. And thank you, Melinda. We really appreciate you being with us. And if you're in the Exonia area on Saturday the 21st, you can stop by and say hello to her.
I would love it. Thank you so much, Jill, and thanks to everyone who called in.
Yep, thank you. Melinda, of course, is a nationally known gardening expert, and she has over 30 years of horticulture experience. If you want to know a lot, go to her website. I'm Jill Nadeau in for Larry Mueller, and we'll be right back.